Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are all great things in your business. I am your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm very excited about this week's show because my very special guest is a new friend of mine, Michael O'Neill. Let me tell you a little bit about Michael. He is the host of the very, very popular podcast. It's called the Solopreneur Hour Podcast, and it has quickly become one of the top-ranked podcasts on iTunes. He's a very much in-demand speaker and at conferences and organizations nationwide. His current mission is to support and educate solopreneurs, including those in internet marketing, network marketing, real estate, athletes, trainers, comedians, actors, all kinds of people looking for exposure. As a bonus, he'd also like to change the face of the network marketing industry by teaching its associates the correct way to build relationships using social media. And I was really digging that, checking out your sites there. So, Michael, thanks so much for being my special guest today. I'm excited for our listeners here at Stick Like Glue Radio to get a chance to know you better.
Jim, I'm stoked. Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for being on the Solopreneur Hour a couple weeks ago. That was an awesome – it's a fun trade to have with you.
That was, you know, so that's how we met. So for people listening, Michael interviewed me for his show a few weeks ago. We really connected and hit it off, and that entire hour went by about as fast as this half-hour show is going to go, and I immediately told Jessica my schedule to book Michael on this program. So, Michael, take just a minute and share a little bit more about you, maybe quickly where you grew up. I know we actually connected. You're from this area. You actually went to Temple where my daughter
Philly
went.
Boy.
Yeah, Philly boy. So tell us a little bit about your journey and then kind of zero in on your journey to entrepreneurship, and then we'll talk about podcasting.
Sure, I'd love to. Thank you again. But so I was a web guy for 18 years. I was born in Ohio, but I really spent most of my formative years in Philadelphia and worked in Manayunk. I worked right there. My first web client, in fact, was Body Therapy Associates in Manayunk. And it was great. It was sort of right when the internet was really taking place. It was sort of 1994, and it was kind of, I thought I was going to be an architect or something, or a producer. I kind of wanted to be a producer of, you know, maybe TV and film. And then the internet came along, and it was like, wait a second, you mean I can marry all of these different pieces of media together into one thing, and this becomes this website. And I remember being so geeked out by getting my first image map to work on one of my first websites, and it was like a big deal for me at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I started a company called World Media, that's spelled WHIRLED, like World Peeve, because it whirled all the different kind of media together into one thing, which became websites. And I did that for many years, worked for a lot of design agencies and things like that, and then kind of retired from the agency world, went off on my own, and then was recruited off the couch a couple of years later by a Fortune 500 company to be their creative director. And I did that for about a year. And somewhere like at month two, after having been, you know, self-employed for a few years, I realized I was completely unemployable at that point. I was like, how am I working in this corporate environment? There's no way I can do this anymore. And that really planted the seed for me. That was really the entrepreneurial seed to begin with. And I went through a really tough family tragedy where I lost both my parents about a year later. And the process of losing them both at the same time, both in the U.S. healthcare system, you know, I ended up losing every dime that I had. I literally had nothing. I lost my house and two cars and all my 401k and retirement. It was just a mess. And one of my goals as a quote-unquote successful adult was My dad was the kind of guy that would drive cross country into Winnebago but wouldn't jump on a flight to Paris for 6 hours. So I always wanted to surprise them with a trip to Europe. And then they passed away, so I couldn't really do that. But in, like, my lowest point, which is 2008, I had this idea that was inspired by a mentor of some sort of mine. And he said, you know, you've had so much chaos in your life for the last 4 years, you haven't even had a chance to mourn. And that was a very true statement because I was in such survival mode for so long, just trying to pay rent and save my house and save my cars and save my money, that it hadn't even dawned on me, like, oh, wow, I lost my dad and then I lost my mom. So that moment on this guy's couch, I said, I'm going to Europe anyway. And I got a little Italian Parmesan cheese shaker, and I got their ashes, and I went to Europe for 4 months. And they're on the beaches of Normandy. They're in the Sistine Chapel. I mean, they're everywhere. And sometimes I had to go like a little Shawshank Redemption with it because you're not allowed to spread ashes in the Sistine Chapel. So I had to sneak it in. But it was a really amazing cathartic journey for me. And on my connecting flight back from Brussels back to Denver, where I was living, I stopped in Washington, D.C., and I had $14. And this was in 2009. And not like I better go hit the ATM, but I had $14. And I sort of sat on my brother's guest bed, and it was then what? You know, if you've ever seen it, have you ever seen The Princess Bride, Jim? Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
Well, it's a fabulous movie. One of the famous lines of this movie is there's a kid, and his father is slain by a bad guy when he's a little kid, and he spends his entire life trying to avenge his father's death to the six-fingered man. And he walks around, he goes every single town he goes, and he says, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die. And he kept saying it to people until he actually found the right guy, and then he got him. And at the very end of the movie, his buddy says, well, what are you going to do now? And Inigo says, you know what, I don't know, I've been in the revenge business my whole life. And that's kind of how I felt sitting on my brother's guest bed, is I only knew one life. I only knew how to be a web guy, a branding guy, you know, a designer. I didn't know what the entrepreneurial world was really like, although I'd done all the reading on it. I read all the books. I read Rich Dad Poor Dad. I read Cashflow Quadrant. I read the 4-Hour Work Week. I mean, I knew conceptually what to do, but not in practice. And I ended up meeting a guy that was a really an excellent internet marketer, and who would search Google, would find things people were looking for, would then go to Asia to actually find products to fit those things, create a couple of landing pages, pay, you know, $50,000 for the landing pages, and then would do about $5,000 a day in sales because he was basically tapping into a torrential, you know, river that was already going. So when I asked him what he did, he says, I look where it's raining and I put down a tarp, which is very true. It's exactly what he was doing. So I started working with him. He wouldn't work with me until I read a few books, one of which was The E-Myth Revisited. And that book really changed my whole, you know, that really got me in action. And I ended up doing a lot of internet marketing, like experimenting with it, started doing some network marketing with the company, really enjoyed that, like really enjoyed the fact that I could be my own little CEO and not have to worry about products or production. And I did that for a few years until I realized that my true passion was training people, because I'm really good at social media and I'm really good at connecting the dots. Between kind of, you know, the conversational process we have in real life and then what happens in the sales process. And I felt like a lot of people in that industry didn't get the proper training. So you hear a lot of people shouting, buy my stuff and you have to try this and ask me how, you know, all over the web. And I was like, that's not the way to do this. And so I started creating online courses and live trainings to help teach what I now call solopreneurs, how to build their businesses with social media. And that sort of takes us up to what I was doing up until I started the podcast 2 months ago.
That's really crazy.
Can I take a breath now?
Yeah, why don't you take a breath? I can only ask one question. That's so funny. You know, a couple of weeks ago I was interviewing a buddy of mine who's a pretty smart marketer. He's attorney, all kinds of things. I asked him one question. It was like 17 minutes later. And I said, you're like a dream guest. He goes, that, or I'm the guest from hell. I'll let you decide which
one. Yeah, or the worst. Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, first of all, you know, The Princess Bride, I'm going to have to check that out. I'll admit to being – Well, here's the thing, and I'm going to show my ignorance here. It sounds like a chick flick, which I'm not really into, but it clearly, from what you described, it is not a chick flick.
It's
so
not at all.
It sounds like a great movie.
The theme of the show is a grandpa reading the story. It's a storybook that a grandpa is reading to his grandson. And he's like, this sounds like a girl movie. And, like, the whole movie is awesome. It's, like, totally not a girl movie, you know?
That's
but it
so
sort
funny.
Of is at the same time. It's great. It's a great family film.
Well, listen, before you started getting recognized as you know, the host of one of the top-rated podcasts, it's fair to say, as you've said, you're best known for helping network marketers by using the power of social media, which you're very good at. Can you talk a little bit about that mission? How'd you get involved with that? Were you into network marketing yourself? Or?
Yeah, so when I read the E-Myth Revisited, for me, when I saw that everything really comes down to making a franchise, for some reason it clicked with me that, oh, wait a second, network marketing, which I'd never done before. I'd never had any exposure whatsoever to it. But it's like having you are the franchise. So if you can get that concept and then go, wait a second, that means if I can just franchise the people around me and they understand that concept, then you can really grow a business. So I took that concept and I married it to the fact that I'd had, you know, the 17, 18 years of, you know, web and social media. And then, you know, I was a communications major at Temple. So I had a pretty good grasp on how and why people, what moves the needle for people. You know, I had an idea of sort of how to structure conversation to influence people's behavior. And so I started experimenting with some things on Facebook in a very, I guess almost in a very NLP way, in a, you know, neuro-linguistic programming kind of way. If I walked up to you as a stranger and I got right in your face, Jim, and just started saying, hey, blah, 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 and I was really close to you, your first instinct would typically be to back off. You'd give me some room and you'd allow, you know. But if I walked up right next to you and started a conversation, technically I would be closer to you, but you wouldn't feel threatened at all. And so I sort of started taking that same approach to social media and really connecting with, I'd rather let people see what my life looks like from as a looking glass and use social media to portray a really wonderful life that I was actually having. I mean, I think authenticity and transparency is really the important part of what we, you know, do as business builders and entrepreneurs to let people relate to us, because ultimately when they hire our business, they're getting us. So people want, you know, people like people that are like themselves, and they work with people they like. So after I grew, what happened was I grew my business very quickly because of that, like faster than most people had in the company. And I was pulled aside at a company event, and they said, hey, would you be willing to share what you've been doing with the rest of the field? And I said, sure. So we created what's called the Social Media Roadshow. And I traveled to 17 different cities and gave 8-hour seminars on how to build your network marketing business with social media. And that really cauterized it. I mean, it really became a real methodology to doing it that has now expanded into what I would consider most people doing in the internet marketing world, you know, as trainers and athletes and things like that. Same exact methodology. So I ended up creating an online course because I realized I'd only reached a teeny little portion of one company, and there was obviously hundreds and thousands of different network marketing companies. And I'm not one of those people that's afraid to say the words network marketing. I think people are terrified of it because everyone thinks, you know, everyone's got $5,000 worth of stuff in their basement they're trying to pawn off on their friends. And I know better. I know way too many successful, open-hearted, generous, amazing millionaires that have done really well by helping a lot of people in the network marketing world. So, and I certainly know a few shysters as well, don't get me wrong. But for the most part, my exposure has been to some really great people and people that are misdirected. So I really do want to, I believe in the model of network marketing, and I really want to help people get better at it. That's a thing that I'd love to see, because I think it's the easiest way when you don't have any money and you don't want to build your own products. I think it's the easiest way to build a business from home. So
yeah, you said something really good.
I
appreciate that. Listen, I don't even know if you've said this before, but this is one of the quotes that should go down in history as attributed to your name, so I'll start using it.
I'll take it.
Don't be in somebody's face. Stand next to them.
Yeah, for sure. That's very true.
That is awesome.
In real life or virtual, that's what you want to do. You want to stand there and be looking in the same direction. And figure out how you can. I mean, it takes five connecting points to establish rapport with people. And once you've done that, and there's obviously ways to do that. One of my favorite questions of all time to ask anybody is what did your, and if you want, I'll ask you. Are you prepared to let me put you on the spot?
Sure.
What did your childhood smell like?
Macaroni and cheese and liver.
Okay. Interesting.
We had four kids in our family. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. You know, I found out much later in life we never had money, although I didn't know it when we were growing up. But we had a lot of macaroni and cheese, and every once a week my mom would make liver or fish, and we'd have to eat that. I have no idea, but I agreed to play honest. That was the first thing that came into my head.
Well, all right. So let's break that down. That is a simple question that's triggered, that has so many psychological triggers in it that it's amazing. So the first thing that happens for all of you out there in the listening audience is when you ask that particular question, what did your childhood smell like? Left brain people and right brain people will respond to it in completely different ways. So the creative people will answer. The people that are more analytical and more like Excel spreadsheets and numbers people will go, what do you mean by that? They'll need to qualify the question. So instantly you know how you can start connecting with this person based on if they're left brain or right brain. So you can, that's the first thing you can do. So if they're creative and they're a right brainer, you can go that way. If they're analytical, then you know not to like do a lot of fluff in your, you know, in your sentences and how you approach them. That's the first thing. Second thing is it is very, very rare. There's only two things that bring people back in time, like these two things. Smells is number one and music is number two, which is why when you hear a song in your car, often you can remember exactly where you were when you last heard that song. Has that ever happened to you, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a little flash and you go, oh, yeah, I remember hearing this. I remember right where this was. And smells are even more acute than that. So when you ask what did your childhood smell like, it's very rare that you'll get someone that just says, oh, grass. And that's it. You provided a story because you said macaroni and cheese and liver, and then boom, you jumped into the thing well every week with my mom and blah. So usually from that sentence, and I could have prompted more and said anything else, but if I get you to go, you'll go for 2 minutes on stories about your childhood, and I'll have a pretty good idea of who you are by the time those 2 minutes are done. I'll at least know where your background is, know how to approach you.
Now, what's interesting is when you went there after I gave you that my very first answer, Michael, you said when certain smells take you back somewhere. Having phrased it that way, my grandparents had a cottage on a lake, and we grew up on this lake. That's where I learned how to water ski and things like that. To this day, when I go near any lake, I go rushing back. I mean, literally from when I was 3 years old up till about 13, we spent most summers in this cottage right on the lake. And it's the lake, the smell of lake water is just embedded in my brain.
Wow. Well, so, and this is the point of this. All of my teaching on social media is around building relationships with people. And as you know, as a really successful person, everything's about relationships. And whether you can – it's not about sales. It's not getting in someone's face. It's about connecting with your audience in a way that they go, oh, wait a second. I totally relate to what they're saying. And look, they're having some success. I'll have what he's having. I'll have what she's having. And that's when you start getting – I'll buy anything they have. That's the whole Apple start with why. I mean, that's – Simon Sinek right there. Start with why. Once people can really connect to the core of someone, anything you do around that, Jim, will be something that they'll want to be part of. So all of your products and all your programs and things like that. So if you're someone out there that has a hard time connecting with people, that is one of the most powerful questions you can ask, as long as you know how to interpret it and what to do with the data. But don't lead with it. It's a really weird question to lead with.
That's awesome.
You'll get weird looks at networking events if you're like, hi, what did your childhood smell like?
All right, we are going to pause here for a very brief time out, but on the other side, I want to jump into the other side of this conversation with my guest, Michael. We're going to talk about his awesome and amazing podcast, so stay tuned. We will be right back.
In the best-selling book, No BS Direct Marketing, legendary marketer Dan Kennedy said this, "My single biggest recommendation is the use of a monthly customer newsletter. Nothing, and I mean nothing, maintains your fence better." Dan is absolutely correct. The truth is, for just about any business owner, the greatest potential for new business and higher profits lies within its current customer base. Stronger customer relationships yield higher sales and more profits, and a monthly newsletter is the best relationship-building tool, bar none. Unfortunately, for many entrepreneurs, the struggle of producing a newsletter every month is too much, and it just doesn't get done. But no longer. Every month, No Hassle Newsletters members get 24 pages of Jim's famous customer-loving content and his amazing ready-to-go newsletter templates. Your company's No Hassle Newsletter will generate more repeat and referral business in less than 1 hour per month. Join the hundreds of entrepreneurs already using No Hassle Newsletters at www.nohasslenewsletters.com. That's www.nohasslenewsletters.com.
And we are back. Let's get right back to my very special guest, Mr. Michael O'Neill. Michael, I got one more question on social media before we jump to podcasting. I'm pretty sure I'm guessing what your answer might be, but what's the biggest mistake you see most people make with social media? Well, let's just go specifically with Facebook.
Ask me how. You know, you can do this too. Ask me how. PM me for more info. Like, that's the worst possible thing you can do on Facebook. It's the equivalent. It's again, everything I do, I like to relate to real life. It's the equivalent of you and I meeting each other for the first time, and you're like, hey, I'm Jim. Hey, I'm Michael. How you doing? You know, I've got this great book, and I've made so much money from selling it. Ask me how to do the same thing. And you'd be like, what are you talking about, dude? Somewhere someone thought that was a good idea, that you're giving permission to make people that are like soccer moms into like cheesy used car salesmen. That has never worked in the history of things, the ask me how method. So that's my number one.
Yeah, they go right to the sale.
I'm not sure if I can be more passionate about that.
I know. It's about giving, man. It's about sharing. It's about building community and sharing information. It's the ultimate sharing place to share your information and what value you have and let people come to you. And that's, yeah, I completely agree with you.
My metaphor, this is movie number two. Have you ever seen When Harry Met Sally?
Love it. Yep.
Okay, so you know that. So there was a scene, a diner scene, when Billy Crystal says, "Oh, there's no one that could fake it with me," and she gives this performance of a lifetime. Do you remember the next thing that happens in that scene?
It was the mother. It was actually Rob Reiner's mother. It says, "I'll have what she's having."
Exactly. So "I'll have what she's having. I'll have what he's having" is how to run your social media campaign. You want people, as they're viewing you from the outside, to be seeing such a remarkable life with such fun, such freedom, and such, you know, inspiration, that they're going to go, "I'll have what he's having. I'll have what she." What are you doing? How are you doing that? What's the deal? You don't need to tell them to ask you how if you're doing it right, because they're going to ask you how anyway. How are you hiking in the middle of the day with your two kids when I'm behind a desk driving my 9-to-5? How are you able to do that? Well, I have this. I'm doing this. That's, you get them to ask you by portraying your life, hopefully accurately, in the correct way on social media.
That's great. Man, you're quite the movie buff.
I'm not really, but my two main metaphors in this call were movie related. So I think that's it. I'm out of movies.
Okay. We'll see.
I got no more.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, Michael,
right.
Yeah, let's shift gears and talk about your really awesome podcast, the Solopreneur Hour podcast, which, by the way, I love the name. First of all, I love the name because any great name for a business or product tells people exactly what it is. It's the Solopreneur Hour podcast. It's kind of simple, right, but it's extremely clarifying. I love that. You're welcome. How did the original idea come for the show? You know, how and when did you get started, and did you get some training or coaching? Did you just dive in? Take us down that journey.
In May of 2012, so the company, the network marketing company I was with at the time, had a really amazing dynamic speaker. And as you know from training and coaching people, one of the hardest things to get people to do is take action. I think they say less than 1% of people actually ever take action. So often network marketing companies will have really inspirational speakers like Tony Robbins and Les Brown and those kinds of people that try to help people, you know, get motivated and move and actually take action. So there was a guy that was employed by this company, and he was an amazing, really dynamic speaker, I'd seen him in front of 10,000 people in a dead silent room. And I know you've done some speaking in your day. It's one thing to get a crowd like riled up and rocking. It's another thing to really own a dead silent room when there's 10,000 people in it and like be okay with quiet for 10 seconds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just, he's a masterful trainer. And he had reached out to me for a social media question. I said, you know, we should take your brand, which is a huge fish in this teeny little pond, and we should make it global. And he said, well, how do we do that? And I said, we should do a podcast. I'm a big podcast fan. And he goes, what's a podcast? I'm like, well, that's like a radio show, but you put it on the internet, you know? And so we started that in May of 2012, and I dove right in. You know, I had obviously a technical background. I'm a professional drummer, so I had a bit of a music thing. And we dove into it, and it was a huge instant success because he's so great on the air that it really blew up. And so we're at actually 227 episodes of that so far over the last year and a half. And I had done some fill-in when he was in Africa. I'd done a few shows on my own. And, you know, it was sort of one of those things where I was ready I'd always been a supporter, Jim. As a drummer, I would always support the band and sort of be behind the scenes. But I also secretly knew that if I were terrible, that the band would be terrible. So it really, I was kind of the linchpin if it sounded good or not. And that was sort of the case with a lot of my career, was that I was sort of content being a behind the scenes guy. But then at some point I realized that I probably have the goods to do it on my own. Why am I not doing it on my own? And I had I have an online social media training course for network marketers and for solopreneurs. And I have to update and refresh that because obviously the technology changes quickly. And at some point when I connected the dots that it wasn't just network marketers that I was speaking to, but anybody where when the person is the brand, so it could be a real estate agent, a personal trainer, a massage therapist, whatever, anybody in network marketing, they're all doing essentially the same thing. Insurance, which is, you know, when you hire their business, you're really getting them. So then as I recreated that course in May of 2013, I started using the phrase solopreneurs instead of specifically internet or network marketers. And so that phrase was sort of floating around in my head. Then I connected with a couple of guys that some of your listeners might have heard of, a guy named Pat Flynn, who's a big internet marketer. He has smartpassiveincome.com. And we were having pizza in San Diego, and we were just kind of shooting it and chatting about work and life and our relationships and business and stuff like that. And we left there, and he said, man, I never get a chance to do this. Like, this is so cool to be able to just sit and talk about this stuff because I never get to just talk about it. And I thought, that would be kind of a cool format for a show. And then I had another opportunity where a guy named Mike Johnston, who's a professional drummer who runs mikeslessons.com, has built a $100,000 a month business out of online drum lessons. And we got along really well. And I wanted to co-host a show called Learn to Learn with Mike and Mike. That was what I wanted to do with him. And he was so busy that we couldn't really pull it off. But I wanted to structure my show in a way that instead of having like guests that I interview, I can have co-hosts that can pop in and out whenever they want to. They could be on weekly, they could be on every 2 weeks, they could be on whenever their schedule permits it. And between the two, I was on my bike and I heard something about blah, blah, blah hour. I was like, I wonder if the solopreneur hour would be a cool thing. And I ran inside and I got the domain names and I was super excited. And that was, I guess, 9 weeks ago now is when we started the show.
Wow.
It's been great. It's been unbelievable since then.
That's really awesome. And, you know, the format, I love how, because, you know, like I said, I was on your show a few weeks ago, and the co-host, I love that. One of the reasons it's great is because it just, instead of just the intro, tell me when did you write your first newsletter, you know, and then you give an answer.
Oh, God. Everyone we know has been interviewed a million times, Jim. That's the whole point.
Yeah, but when you – yeah, and the great thing about your podcast, well, first of all, it speaks to your personality also, but it was a very comfortable conversation between two people. So the co-host label, you know, that you actually put on your guest is very cool. It's really kind of levels the playing field in a pretty cool way.
Well, it was partially because I had heard I'm a podcast guy, so I've heard a million podcasts, and I've heard Pat Flynn interviewed 10 times with the same interview, and I'm like, I don't want to ever do that. That's not what I want. And, you know, strategically, my first 8 weeks, because you only get 8 weeks to be eligible for new and noteworthy on iTunes. And so I wanted to pack that 8 weeks full of killer guests. So I've had Pat Flynn and Natalie Sisson and Cliff Ravenscraft and Derek Halpern, Greg Reed, Chris Ducker. I mean, all these, like, notable internet marketer guys. I'm interviewing Adam Carolla on Friday, which is my big get. And I'm, you know, it was all very intentional to sort of raise the bar, but I was very conscious thinking, wait, these guys, every single person I'm interviewing has been interviewed like 50 million times, and they're going to, they would kill themselves if I gave them the same exact interview again. So I just don't want that. That's not what I signed up for.
Yeah.
I forgot about John Lee Dumas. He was show number one.
Oh, John Lee, he's such a rock star in the whole. Well, speaking of, I mean, his podcast is amazing. What other podcasts do you listen to? Do you want to say or?
Yeah, what's funny is I'm full of like enigmas. I'm a professional drummer that barely ever listens to music because I listen to stand up comedy almost exclusively, or electronica if I'm working. And podcast wise, I listen to Adam Carolla a lot. I listen to The Nerdist. I listen to a few, like, NFL shows. Doug Loves Movies, I like that one. But, I mean, honestly, lately I have been pretty busy and not able to hang out and do a lot of podcasty stuff, which is an awesome problem to have.
Yeah. By the way, let me just point out, you mentioned movies again, although not a specific one. So Doug Loves Movies.
I did. No, Doug Loves Movies is a funny podcast. It is about movies. But I'm terrible. I'm terrible at movie trivia, at movie lines. I know two lines. That's what I know. I know, you know, my name is Inigo Montoya. I killed my father, prepared to die, and whatever else I said. That was it. Those are my two.
Well, thanks to thanks to my teenage boys. I can barely hear a word sometimes, and it takes me right back to a movie that we've watched for all those years. They're like, I mean, whether
are you
it's
a quoter?
Rodney,
you quote lines and stuff.
Well, it's funny. It's like whether it's a Rodney Dangerfield movie like Caddyshack or Back to School, or who's the golfer? The guy from Saturday Night Live who's the what was that golf movie?
Bill Murray.
Yeah, well, Bill Murray was in Caddyshack, but Shooter McGavin.
What's his face? Yes.
Why can't we think of his name?
How do we both not know? What's his face? Adam. What's his face? Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler movies. I mean, it's like, so, you know, so I got that going for me, which is nice. I mean, whenever my boys, of course, they moved away, but whenever they come them home or something, even on the phone, it's like, we'll say something, and it just turns into a movie line. But I digress.
Cool.
I got a couple more questions for you real quick.
Sure.
You know, podcasting just seems to be exploding. I mean, every time they're just going all over the place. I think part of it, as you mentioned, is it's not expensive to get into it. I personally believe it's a phenomenal positioning tool for, again, little to no cost. Gives entrepreneurs a platform which to get their message out and share some value with the marketplace. Am I on the same page as you with that, or what would you say
absolutely
to people who are thinking about it? Okay.
Yes. First of all, I would say yes to do it. It's, think of it, but yes, to do it if that's where your swing is, because, you know, it's, you can blog, you can do videos, you can do podcasting, and you can do live events or TV or radio if you've got that kind of clout. But that's kind of it. Like, those are the channels in which you can connect with an audience. So you got to pick which one suits you the best. I realized at some point that being in front of a microphone and speaking came fairly easy to me. Like, it's a thing I can do. I didn't realize it. I didn't realize all those years of listening to, like, Howard Stern and stand-up comedy would totally come in handy for the rest of my career, but here we are. And so it's right now podcasting is the Wild West, and I say that because even though it's been around for a while, and I was a really early podcast listener in, like, 2005, 2006, but now they're starting to come, like Stitcher Radio, which is a podcasting aggregator, and it's sort of a channel where you can get a bunch of podcasts as opposed to doing like the specific app for, you know, like the podcast app on the iPhone or whatever. So they're coming OEM in 2014, Mazdas and Fords and GM cars. So podcasting is soon going to be like a lot more ubiquitous, because right now it's like two out of 10 people have ever listened to a podcast. But that's going to be 4 or 5 out of 10 in the next year or so. And you definitely want to be on that wave, you know. And, you know, I think it's we're still very early, even though podcasting is sort of, you know, growing up a little bit. But it's the Wild West. I think anybody who has something that's valuable to say can totally do it. I've even heard people that are content people that are really good at writing. They'll hire somebody to read their blog post, and that'll be a podcast. It's a great way to outsource if you're not, you know, a speaker generally. And then the other part I think is really interesting is that there are now some terrestrial radio stations that are buying syndication rights from podcasters to run their shows on the radio. So it's coming into this full circle, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of mentioned the Wild Wild West and how, you know, just a couple of years is going to change. I remember, you know, years and years ago, Howard Stern, when he came to Philadelphia from New York and, you know, was competing with the Morning Zoo, I mean, way back in those days, right? And
yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember
Bart
that?
In the morning? Yeah, Bart
yeah, he was competing
and,
with MMR.
Yes, yeah.
John DiBella, that
funerals.
Was his name.
John DiBella, having funerals for DiBella.
Yep. And then, you know, I forget how long. It's probably 5 years. It seems like it was yesterday. But then when he left terrestrial radio to go to, you know, the whole
Sirius.
I mean, it's like everybody, what the heck? But, I mean, he owns his show. He can do whatever he wants. I mean, the whole thing of marketing and communications is just changing so rapidly. It's almost hard to keep up with it.
Yeah. And I was really fascinated by the news that it had looped and gone back to terrestrial radio, because at that what that means is anybody with like $300-400 who can do a broadcast quality show that could eventually end up on the radio from their bedroom. And that's just a fascinating a turn of events from where it was 5-10 years ago.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, what are your goals? What'd you say, 9 weeks old with your podcast? Where do you see this thing going 6 months, a year down the road?
Well, that's a great question. I should probably have that laid out. I'm not a great goal person, I have to say. I kind of jump on the wave and see what happens. For this one, however, I would like to be I think I have enough validation that some of the ideas that I've been hanging on to for a few years and under my hat and that I've told to my dog but nobody else are worth listening to. And I would love to get a chance to inspire, you know, large groups of people. My greatest love is training. Like, I love to be on stage seeing people's eyeballs get the aha moment. In fact, I was just offered, and it's not totally sure yet, but it seems like I've been offered a 75-minute workshop slot at the New Media Expo in Vegas to train on podcasting, which I'm so excited about. And that's really like where my wheelhouse is. So I think being able to train more people, and one of the cool things that I've seen that podcasting has done is that, kind of like Twitter has, is it gives you access to some of these heroes and celebrities that you've known for a long time. Because at some point, if you get enough audience, you have enough clout that you can say, hey, you know, would you mind being on my show? And they'll go, hey, you know what, this guy's got enough audience to move the needle. You know, like John Dumas now is getting 400,000 or 500,000 downloads a month. That's enough for a publicist to go, why don't we go in that, give him 20 minutes, you know? And so that's why I think it could be really fun to kind of see where that ride takes me.
Well, that's awesome. Anything I can do to support you, just let me know. I'm happy to do that. I'm very excited to put you in front of my community.
Cool.
Let me ask you one final question. What gets you excited about being an entrepreneur? Like, what really gets your juices flowing? And then, is there anything about being an entrepreneur that wakes you up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat?
The second one, no. I'm pretty fearless. I think having gone through a situation where I didn't have any money, I think that's usually the number one fear, is that people are going to run out of money and then be, and that's it. I've been out of money. Like, I've been totally out of money before, and that was okay. Like, my life was, you know, not as good. I couldn't do a lot of fun things that I wanted to do. But then I could. Like, you know, I feel like there's 8 steps for people to follow, and they can get themselves out of pretty much anything they can think of. There's 5 books, and there's 8 steps. There's things they can do. So The five books are Rich Dad, Poor Dad, then The Cash Flow Quadrant from Robert Kiyosaki, then 4-Hour Work Week, E-Myth Revisited, and StrengthsFinder 2.0. So those five books, you read them, you can open up the same front door you've had for years, and you'll have a totally different perspective on the landscape outside. So there's nothing really scary to me, because I feel like I've been there, done that. What gets me really excited is weeks like the week I've had this week, where it seems like every phone call and every new connection I make is opening up some new amazing door that is going to, I've been saying move the needle a lot lately, so that is going to give me a new adventure, and I love the adventure piece. I committed to this 4 years ago, Jim, that I didn't know what I wanted to do yet, but I knew what I didn't want to do was work a dollar for an hour anymore, and I committed to it, hell or high water. I could have gotten a six-figure gig as a creative director again, and that would have been that, but I decided not to do that, and you know, go the ramen noodle scraping up change route for a few years until I learned enough and built up enough skill set that I could do something with it. So, the excitement is not knowing where tomorrow's leading, but I can't wait to get there.
So there's another quote from Michael O'Neill. It's not a job, it's an adventure.
I think someone's used that already. I think someone's PM'd that one before me.
Yeah, right. Well, I've got two awesome quotes, and I will tag you in them. But so, by the way, that other one is a great title for a book. You know, for when you write another book on social media, it's don't get in their face, stand next to them, because in every way, shape, and form, it's just such a great metaphor and a great title and message.
I love it. Thank you.
There you go. Hey, thanks so much, Michael. I'm just so glad we connected, and thanks for doing my show. How can people learn more about you, and how can they connect with you?
I would love it. I mean, honestly, my focus right now is the podcast. I would love for people to come and check it out, not to take anybody away from you because you have an awesome show. But solohour.com is the way to find it. You can also go to solopreneurhour.com, but America didn't want to spell preneur very well, so I decided solohour.com was an easier way for people to find the show. And that's
awesome.
It. That's how they can find me. Yeah.
Very good. Hey, by the way, you just said something else there. I mean, it's funny. One thing just sparks another one. But, you know, I've often been asked, you know, I interview a lot of people. I freely give out their information. I promote them all the time. I've never taken one dime in affiliate commission from anybody. I think that's just my own style, and I want people to know. You know, first of all, I think it's a way to be genuine and have people take you seriously. But not everybody subscribes to that. But my point is, you know, I'm all about promoting good things in front of my audience, and that's why my list keeps growing. So, I mean, let's just end with a final note. Don't be afraid to put other smart people. I want you to go listen to Michael's podcast. It doesn't mean you're going to stop listening to mine, but if you miss a few weeks of Stick Like Glue because you learned something from Michael, I'm thrilled with that. So I think that's just a good business lesson and life lesson.
Well, and it's also third-party validation, I think, you know?
Yes.
It's a way for you to go, hey, look, I don't know everything. I certainly don't know everything. I might as well surround myself with really, you know, cool people that know certain things that I don't, and I'll do the same for them. We have a weird thing, I think, and I'm sure you've seen this from your listeners, that people that are in this space that are entrepreneurial, one of the first things they want to do is give back, and that's one of the coolest parts about being in this world.
Very cool. Well, thank you again, Michael. You're a good guy, and thanks so much for your time today.
That was so great. Thank you so much for having me. And thanks, everybody. Hope to see you over on the other side.
Very good. All right, folks. That wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with my special guest, Michael O'Neill. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.